So our text for this morning's meditation is from Proverbs chapter 4, our Old Testament reading, these words. Keep your heart with all vigilance. So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the question immediately when we hear the Word of God from Proverbs chapter 4, the Holy Spirit Himself directing us to keep our hearts with all vigilance. The question to us, obviously, is whether or not we can even do that. Can we keep our hearts? That is, control our hearts in some way so that they are not thinking and feeling what they should not think or feel, but are instead thinking and feeling what they should. For when the Holy Spirit in the Bible speaks about our hearts, what He's speaking about most of the time is not the thing that pumps blood through our veins and arteries, but the very center of our being. What we are thinking, what we are feeling at any moment. That's our heart, we could say. That's our heart. And that being our heart, I would think that our idea nowadays of our heart, what we are thinking and feeling from one moment to the next. Yes, the modern idea of the heart is that of something like a leaf blowing about in the wind. This gust of news, this wisp of an idea, this desire, that experience blowing our hearts to and fro like a raft flowing down the river of life, being pushed this way and that by the currents and eddies and the rocks and rapids. I mean, what can be done? Can be done. It's not like we have any oars to steady our thoughts and emotion. It's not like we can do anything with rudders and ailerons about the winds of change that blow our hearts this way and that. I mean, all that we can do is hold on. Hold on. So it seems. What is worse? What is worse is that the world encourages us again and again and again and again not to guard our hearts, to protect them some way from thinking one way or feeling another. But the world says to us constantly, follow your heart. Follow your heart. Follow your heart. Follow your heart. You being blown this way and that by life itself? Don't worry. Don't be frightened. Don't live in fear. Live in joy. Live in happiness. Thrill to the ride that is your heart. Follow it. Do whatever it tells you. Listen to any thought you might have. Become what your heart wants you to be. For that is you. Your heart, your emotions and thoughts. Well, let's stop there. Stop there at the spewing of such nonsense by the world. And truly it is nonsense. That is, something that's lacking sense. For we are, as human beings, more than our thoughts. More than our emotions. Much, much more. We have bodies that have specific attributes that have been birthed into families and communities and cultures, which themselves are defined by languages and traditions. We don't exist within the world by ourselves, but are surrounded by neighbors, that is, other people. Follow our hearts, lead ourselves to rack and ruin. Lead ourselves to rack. So Jane Austen pointed out in her classic Sense and Sensibility, way back at the beginning of the 19th century, that is at the time when the Romantic movement was just emerging in Europe, the quest for man to follow his heart. That was such a key point of the Romantic movement. But what happens when we do that? That's the question Jane Austen asks in her novel. And as you might remember, the novel featured two sisters, one who, following her heart, falls head over heels in love with the wrong man, ends up almost losing her life because of it. The other sister, keeping her love, her emotions, her thoughts in check, was able to weather the storms of the relationship that the world presented to her. And looking around us today at the world, what do we see but the rack and ruin of countless lives led by the following of hearts? Looking at ourselves even inwardly, what do we recall but those times in our lives when we ourselves had thrown caution to the wind and following some sort of stupid idea or momentary emotion, found ourselves in a world of hurt both psychologically and physically. So what can be done? What can be done? How can our hearts be guarded? How can our hearts be guarded so that we ourselves are from day to day to day to day kept from self-induced calamity? Well, the answer is very simple. It's the Word of God. The answer is the Bible. God's Word, Luther noted, in words and sentences constructed in much the same way as Jesus is the Word of God encased in flesh and bone. Now, there's a way to think about the Bible. The Word of God constructed of words and sentences in the same way as Jesus is the Word of God comprised of flesh and bones. So how we treat that Word, that written Word, what we think of it, of the Word made text, is how we can think of the Word made flesh, our Lord and Savior. Do we thrill? Do we thrill to read other words daily in our lives, like emails and text messages, tweets and blogs? Are we excited by the latest ad on television, moved by a novel or book we're reading, concerned about a story in the newspaper or about what we read online? In other words, has it been years since we've picked up the Word of God in our homes? But it's only one moment to the next that we check the Word of man. Phones and tablets, computers, mailboxes, or head off to half-price books. No wonder we're all messed up. No wonder we're all messed up. No wonder we truly feel like leaves being blown about in the wind, or oarless rafts floating downstream from one danger to the next. If only we could somehow be anchored, somehow find a solid foundation. If only we could be attached to something, something moored, anchored, so that we are beset, when we are beset by thoughts and emotions that move us here and there, we'll sway, but we won't be moved. This last weekend over Labor Day, tens of thousands of people walked across the 5-mile span, which is the Mackinac Bridge connecting Upper and Lower Michigan. Now, we arrived at the upper end of that bridge that evening of Labor Day and heard again and again and again from the people who we ran into who had walked over the bridge that day that it had been extremely difficult. For as the people were walking across the bridge was swaying in the wind, with thousands of people walking on it. So they had to shuffle as it swayed. It swayed a few inches this way, and it swayed a few inches that way. Now, for the record, the bridge is designed to sway a total of 35 feet. The people on the bridge were feeling a few inches of sway and were terrified. Unless our hearts are anchored to something somehow, there is no way we can walk through life. All that we can do is shuffle, even as we are blown here and there, and sometimes can even find ourselves flat on the floor. We need something to be anchored to. So Christ, the Word of God, taught us in His Word, I am the vine, you are the branches. Meaning, through faith created within us by the Holy Spirit, we are anchored to Christ, our vine. And being anchored, moored, connected to Him through faith, we're anchored in His Word, which should be constantly flowing through us. Now, that connection to Christ through faith in Christ justifies us before God. That is, it assures us that we're not condemned before God for all of our stupid and evil thoughts, our emotions that get out of hand and all of that. We're even forgiven daily through faith in Christ. When we act on those emotions and thoughts and end up doing such stupid things which mess up our lives, things that are known in the Word of God as sin, as missing the mark in Greek, not doing the things we should do and doing the things we should not. More times than not, our suffering in this life can be tied directly to missing the mark. That is, to the following of our hearts. So how then do we guard our hearts? Getting back to our text from Proverbs, well, we keep our hearts immersed in the Word of God, built into words and sentences. That is, the Word made text. That is, the Bible. For there we have the thoughts and emotions which will keep us from being disconnected from the vine to which we are connected as leaves and branches, that is, Christ. So the beginning of Psalm 119. That's where we read, how can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to thy word. With my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. I have stored your word in my heart. I've stored my word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes. With my lips I declare all the ordinances of your mouth. In the way of your testimonies I delight as much as in all riches. I'll meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I'll delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. So, the beginning of Psalm 119. Context. The Hindu holy man spends his life trying to rid his mind of emotions and thoughts, knowing that such emotions and thoughts, the emotions and thoughts of this world, bring him nothing in the end but pain and suffering. Of course, in the process of hours, days, weeks, months, and years of contemplation, such a holy man becomes worthless to everyone around him, as they must serve him as he tries to rid his heart of all these things. In China yet today, Confucianism attempts, with the right thoughts, to situate each person within society. And Taoism attempts to free the self from society, and through sayings and writings attempts to align man with nature. Buddhism, on the other hand, ultimately strives to liberate the self by dissolving any and all order of nature and society. All these religions are nothing else but attempts to somehow anchor the heart of man somehow in something so that it's not destroyed by the world. The point, raising the question, the question of how our hearts are kept, really, it's universal. People around the world all realize that if we give our hearts free rein, our thoughts and emotions, not only will we destroy ourselves, but all those around us as well. Thus, Christ our Lord and Savior would, by His Holy Spirit, be the keeper of our hearts. He would that our hearts not be troubled, that our hearts not be afraid. He would, by His Spirit, send to us to His Word, where we can daily find the care of our hearts in the commandments and statutes and ordinances of the Word of God. Commandments and statutes and ordinances which would teach us to be more and more and more like Jesus Christ every single day, and thus less and less and less tempted to follow our hearts. What? Not follow our hearts? That's not freedom, Pastor. It's not a life lived like I want. Well, go ahead then. Follow that tyrant, which is your heart, because that's exactly what it is. Our heart, a tyrant. Wanting this, thinking that, one moment angry, the next moment vengeful, the next moment fearful, and then who knows what? And what of our thoughts that keep us captive and hound us from day to day to day to day? How many times have we worried over nothing? Worried for days, weeks, months on end because of some certain thing we read or heard? No, our hearts are tyrants. And if we follow them, we'll never be free. Free from ourselves to be the person we are to be in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Free to love. Free to rejoice. Free to be at peace. Free to be patient and kind. Free to forgive and be confident that we are forgiven. Such a life can only be lived when through faith in Jesus our lives are leaves of branches anchored solidly to the vine, which is our Lord and Savior. His Spirit like sap flowing through us, encouraging us and causing us to bear the good fruit of faith, that is the good works that help our neighbor. We truly are in Christ, living and active, for how could we not be? And a leaf being blown about in the wind? It's dead already, isn't it? It's dead. And who knows where it will end up? And who wants to be a dead leaf blowing through life? I know I don't. Amen. Now may the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.